This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
He is the outgoing mayor of Charlottesville. He is the incoming mayor of Charlottesville. Charlottesville's own Dave Norris joins me live on the phone. Dave, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well, Coy. Always a pleasure to be on the air with you.
Thank you so much. Yeah, absolutely. Right back to you. Congratulations on your re-election by your fellow councilors as the mayor of Charlottesville. And also want to wish you a very happy new year. I hope the holidays were well at your house.
Absolutely. It flew by too fast, but I think we're ready now for the new year. So
I was just telling somebody today, I was just getting used to sleeping past 9 o'clock for like the first time in 20 years. And
yeah.
You got to go back to work.
Steal it right back from you.
Yeah. So, Dave, your thoughts. Tell us first, though, about how this happened, because it provided some drama at the city council meeting recently.
Well, we had our meeting last night. We had our organizational meeting, as we call it. Every 2 years, the council chooses one of their own to be the mayor. I had been encouraging Holly Edwards for over a year now, actually, just privately, to step up and consider taking on the mayor's role. And I know she gave it a whole lot of thought and talked to a lot of people. And I told her, you know, it was hers all the way up until the last minute. She wanted to take the chance. But she decided in the end that she was going to defer to me. But we did elect her vice mayor, so she'll still be part of the leadership team. And I'm happy to have her in that role.
We're talking with Charlottesville's Mayor Dave Norris. So you would have been fine with not serving as mayor again, but as it happens, you what is that, a 2-year term, 3-year term?
It's a 2-year term as mayor. The city councilors serve 4-year terms. The mayor's a 2-year term. I would have been delighted to have Holly in that role, but I understand why she decided not to do it. But she'll still be play an active role in governance of the city, and happy to have her.
Dave, let's take a moment to reflect back on the last 2 years, your first term as mm-hmm. mayor of the city of Charlottesville, and any particular moments, achievements, challenges, missed opportunities, anything that comes to mind that you'd like to share with us?
Well, you know, it's been an eventful couple years. I always talk about, you know, being in local government, being elected office. I call it the inbox effect. You know, you get so many things thrown at you that you didn't necessarily see coming, or you didn't expect to have on your plate, and it's very easy to do nothing but deal with all the stuff in your inbox and not devote the time and energy to getting things done that you ran for office to do. So that's a continual struggle. You know, a perfect example is the whole debate about the community's water supply. When I ran for office in 2006. We thought that thing had been solved, you know, and that issue, probably more than any other, has occupied a great deal of time and energy and thought for the last couple years, both on my part and other counselors. But I think, you know, we've made some good strides. It's been a difficult time financially. You know, obviously the economy hasn't helped, but I think the city's been well managed fiscally to where, you know, we haven't had to make some of the hard decisions that other localities in Virginia have had to make, you know, to increase the tax rate or slash basic services, things like that. But so we've managed, and in the process of managing, we've been able to do some good things, you know, with housing policy and funding, with youth services, with environmental initiatives. We've gotten a lot of national and statewide attention for some of our environmental efforts. Energy efficiency, et cetera. You know, some of the infrastructure improvements that we've been able to make with downtown mall and otherwise. So it's been a busy time. And, you know, it's been some highs and lows, but overall I think it's been a good couple years.
We're talking with Mayor Dave Norris of the city of Charlottesville. Dave, fill us in on this whole thing about the Delegate Rob Bell was talking about introducing legislation regarding funding the schools in the county of Albemarle. And what's that whole story, and what's been your reaction to it?
Well, it's been a very disappointing story, actually. The fact that, you know, we've had this revenue sharing agreement in place for many years now between the city and the county. It was approved voluntarily by both localities. The school funding formula that Delegate Bell's bill will try to address was in place for, I believe, 8 years before the revenue sharing agreement was entered into by the city and the county. So all the parties involved knew that the school funding formula is what it is and was what it was. And why now, you know, several decades later, it needs to be adjusted to account for the revenue sharing agreement is a bit of a mystery to us. It isn't really a mystery, because what's driving it is the fact that the county schools are being put in a very difficult position where they're having to, I believe they have a $10 million shortfall they're looking at for next year. So their motives are quite understandable. They're looking for every penny that they can get, but unfortunately, they are trying this. They're trying to pursue this money grab where they're going to take, upwards of $3 million out of a school system with a 50% free and reduced lunch school population, very high need school population, and give it to a school system that has, I believe, under 20% of free and reduced lunch population. Our property tax rate is 20 cents higher than the county's property tax rate. This is not a, there's no sense of the word in which this can be considered a fair or equitable measure. And, the proponents say, the county, it's not fair that the county has to give all this money in revenue sharing to the city every year. And my response to that is, this is an agreement that was entered into voluntarily by both parties. It has actually served both parties very well. You can easily argue that the city actually has gotten in the short end of the stick, because had we simply annexed the lands that we agreed to forego annexation on, we would be in much better financial shape now than we are. So, but there's a lot of, angles on this thing. At the end of the day, we're going to make a vigorous case down in the General Assembly that this bill will create a very bad precedent, because there are a wide number of localities in Virginia that do interjurisdictional revenue transfers of one sort or another. And if you adjust the school financing formula for one locality, for Albemarle County, you have to adjust it for all these other localities, and that would just open a Pandora's box that I don't think the General Assembly is going to want to do.
We're talking with Mayor Dave Norris of the city of Charlottesville. So so I understand this, the proposal is to move some of the money that Richmond now sends to Charlottesville schools to instead send millions to Albemarle County schools, given and the reason being, this revenue sharing agreement is moving the money and we're going to move it back. So in a sense, it very much is an end run around the revenue sharing agreement.
That's exactly right. So instead of sitting down with the city and honoring the spirit of the revenue sharing agreement, which spells out very clearly that the city and the county should be continually working to identify ways to collaborate, consolidate services, share services, save money by working closer together. Instead of going that route, they're going to Richmond to try, as you say, to do an end run around the revenue sharing agreement. We don't believe the legislation will succeed, but it's going to cost us a whole lot of money to fight it and a whole lot of time and energy down in Richmond over the next few months fighting Albemarle County when we should be sitting down with Albemarle County here and figure out how to work closer together to save money for both jurisdictions.
Yeah, and it really is passing a state law to circumvent the results of a legal agreement, which I can appreciate both sides of this argument, but that sure. Particular argument I think is really going to carry some weight with the folks in Richmond, because we all know there's a lot of lawyers down there, and they understand right. That idea that
yeah.
You know.
And the other thing about this is that, again, Albemarle County is a voluntary partner in this revenue sharing agreement. This is a voluntary obligation they undertook. there's a number of other things that Albemarle County or any locality does that voluntarily affect their ability to fund their schools. For instance, tax rate. They set their own tax rate. They could make the decision to increase their property tax rate. I'm not telling them to do that. I'm saying they could do that. They leave $18 million a year on the table through their land use taxation program, which benefits many of the wealthier landowners in Albemarle County. Now, we can argue that that program has certain benefits, but that's a voluntary measure that they undertake that deprives their school system of money. So, you know, to say that they need this money because they have no other recourse to fund their schools, and I don't know that they've said that outright, but to imply that they need this money is not entirely, is not looking at the big picture. And again, you're taking money out of a school system that has a much higher needs population. And if we were to take $2 or $3 million out of our schools, we've crunched the numbers. You know, that's 40 teachers that we would have to fire, or we'd have to increase our property tax rate another 6 cents on the dollar to make up for the difference. And these are, you know, these are not politically defensible positions. The only politically defensible position, if this legislation succeeds, would be for us to then figure out how to find an equivalent amount of money to get out of Albemarle County through some of our other agreements, and it gets into this really nasty tit-for-tat that nobody wants to be in.
Yeah. Dave Norris, recently elected to a second term on the Charlottesville City Council in November, and just yesterday selected by his fellow councilors as to serve a second two-year term as mayor. Dave, let me ask you, what's the latest on the infamous Meadow Creek Parkway?
Well, let's see. You know, last night we had to do a little house cleaning because one of our city staff had sent a letter to VDOT, which I think a lot of us agreed incorrectly stated the city's position on one aspect of this project. So we had to get a letter drafted that clarified that issue. But in general, I think you still have a majority of city councilors that are either actively want to see the road built or not willing to be the third vote to kill the road. You know, any of the public hearings that we've had, any of the public comment that we've had in the last number of months or years has consistently been strongly in opposition to the Meadow Creek Parkway. But as of now, all the main hurdles have been crossed in terms of official council action for the road to proceed. So there's a couple of other little things that are going to come up probably this year, but all the major approvals have been accomplished. So
it looks like a done deal then.
Well, you know, but, you know, the big question mark right now is what happens in the courts. That's always been, I think, the one arena in which a lot of us have felt that the parkway may meet its demise. And, you know, it's hard to say what's going to happen. The opponents of the parkway have been raising money for quite some time to file a legal battle, pursue legal action against the road. They have some pretty good arguments, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on the whole Save McIntyre Park movement that we've seen? And that, of course, as a local historian, I just have to take a moment to point out that that's just the latest manifestation of what has been a sentiment here since the 60s. I mean, this road has always been controversial since the very beginning.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've been an opponent of the Meadow Creek Parkway for many, many years, and I can certainly see, you know, I see and agree with arguments against the parkway. You know, the coalition to save McIntyre Park itself is kind of a hodgepodge of different groups, some of which have see eye to eye, and some individuals don't always see eye to eye on different aspects of this. But it's brought together people who are opposed to the parkway, people who want to maintain the golf course, people who are opposed to YMCA on the other side of the park, people who wanted to keep the wading pool, et cetera, et cetera. And I think it's a good thing that people are standing up for our parks. I don't agree with them on every issue, but I'm glad to see people getting involved and trying to preserve and enhance our green spaces.
So. Yeah. What are you looking forward to most in the next couple of years, in this next term as a councilor and your next term as mayor?
Well, what I'm looking forward to. You know, there's some big projects that are in the works now, and the main reason I ran for re-election to council was that I wanted to see some of these things move forward. And, you know, we've got, just off the top of my head, we've got a major initiative underway now to revitalize our public housing neighborhoods in Charlottesville and just change the whole dynamics of low-income housing in our community. And create mixed income, mixed use neighborhoods in their place that are, have better quality of life for the residents. We have a major initiative underway called LEAP, Local Energy Alliance Program, working with the county to retrofit thousands of area homes and businesses in the coming decade, make them more energy efficient so that people can save money on their utility bills and can lower greenhouse gas emissions, reduce our dependence on foreign or dirty energy. We've got some other interesting or important initiatives in terms of opportunities for youth. We want to the new I mentioned the YMCA McIntyre Park is going to be a real asset for our kids at Charlottesville High School next door. It's going to be a real asset for the community at large. We've got summer youth employment program that I want to continue to expand and give more kids exposure to the workforce, workforce development, and generally for youth and adults, help our lower income residents climb the ladder. Just across the board, Kristen Sakis, who just got on council, has a real passion around opportunities for young people, particularly closing the achievement gap between the races. Holly Edwards and others have been really spearheading efforts to promote racial. Improve race relations in our community, dialogue on race, et cetera. Across the board, I think there's some good projects that are in the works that are going to require constant support and attention, and that's a lot of what I'll be focusing my energy on in the next 2 years.
Yeah, so you're going to be very, very busy. And, of course, one of the greatest challenges that we should, of course, and I know you think about this quite often in everything that you do, and something that we should never forget is in this greatest city in which to live in America that we all love, we got 1 in 4 people who live in poverty at a time when
right.
Everybody's hurting, and those folks are hurting even more. And
Sure. Yeah, and improving that dynamic is, there's no one solution, obviously, but a big part of it is just making sure that we have a healthy local economy so that employers are able to create jobs and create career ladder jobs in particular for people that are in poverty. So it's a multifaceted approach, and we're not going to solve the problem this year or even this decade, but we can make some good progress.
Dave Norris, he's the new mayor of the city of Charlottesville. Dave, thanks so much for joining us, and you have a very full plate. Good luck to you.
Thank you, Coy. Look forward to coming back some point soon.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SevillePodcast.com for more.